It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Our Basketball Jones, Hail Varsity's Jacob Padilla on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
Baby. All right, let's talk some hoops with Jacob Padilla of Herdette Sports joining us now on the 42 Degrees The Source Hotline. Jacob, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Connor. I'm doing well.
Good. Have you been able to enjoy the NBA, dive in headfirst to the NBA playoffs, even though your sons are no longer around and their future is greatly in question?
No, listen to the owner. There's no question. The future's great.
Of course. I believe him.
Hey, look what Minnesota's doing right now. Like, maybe they just ran into an unstoppable force, and next year it'll be better. Anyway.
Okay.
I haven't been totally dialed in every second because I'm not home a lot in the evenings between practice and pickup and stuff like that, but I've been able to catch a lot of it. So it seems like at this point, the only thing that can stop the Knicks is running out of players.
I know. Yeah. Jalen Brunson, it doesn't matter how many potential injuries he might have. He's going to be out there every night. But by the way, did you, As a Jalen Brunson watcher and appreciator in college, did you see this coming?
Oh no, not even close.
I didn't either.
I thought he'd be a good player. Kind of would have liked the Suns to maybe draft him in the second round instead of Eli Okobo, who apparently was following Matt Janning, Marissa Janning's brother, who's been playing overseas for a long time, and he was watching the Euro League quarterfinals, I think. That's fine. Apparently, Eli Okobo froze out Mike James, who was an all-time legendary EuroLeague player, down the stretch. Ended up missing a three with a tie game at the end of regulation. He went 0-for-5 from three in the game, and they lost in overtime. But that's neither here nor there.
It's a good little factoid, though, when it comes to what the Suns did not do, which is draft Jalen Brunson.
Yeah. it's amazing. I was one that was like, ooh, that's kind of a lot. Like, you started to see him come alive in Dallas at the tail end, but every time he levels up, I'm like, wow, I did not think he would be capable of that. I was skeptical of the deal, and it's like, oh yeah, great season, but how good can he really be?
Yeah.
He just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, now it looks like the best value, of a contract that was signed this year, potentially.
He's certainly the best investment the Knicks have made in a very long time.
No doubt about that. I was also talking about this, what is it about you've seen teams like this before. It doesn't happen a lot in the NBA because it's really defined by stars and stuff like that. Not that Brunson isn't one. But they're just maximizing everything that they have, doing it without a whole lot of star power. It's been I appreciate those teams so much when they come around and I gravitate toward them. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
Well, and then the whole Villanova Knicks storyline as well, the fact that these guys did it in college and now they're trying to do it together in the NBA and are such an important part. They are the team. It's amazing what Josh Hart is doing right now, playing every single second, just impacting the game in every single way possible. Out there 6'5", out rebounding everybody else in the series. It's just a lot of fun watching those guys and the way they battle. And Tibbs certainly found a group of guys that that kind of mesh with what he wants to do as a coach.
That is definitely true, which I didn't think that style would work, but they got the whole process kind of figured out, at least for the moment over there. And then on the other side, I mean, another super enjoyable team to watch is the Timberwolves right now, putting together an incredible defensive performance the other night. Is defense and toughness back in the NBA?
For sure. I mean, they've been the best defense in the league, and like we knew that was their calling card and all that. The fact that one, they did that without Rudy Gobert, like just everybody else leveled up in his absence and actually played even better defensively. That's hard to comprehend. And then the fact that they've been the number one offense in the playoffs at one point. I don't know if that's still the case, but I heard that recently. Like, that is the part, that's why they are where they are right now, where they're just running rush out over everybody. Is for some reason things just clicked offensively once they got to the playoffs. They were middling, kind of average offense all regular season, which was good enough for them to get the seed they did and have such a great season because they were so good defensively. All you need to do is not be awful offensively, and you're going to have a chance to win every time you step out there.
Yep.
But now they're like best. They're just playing at an incredibly high level on both ends of the court. And that's how you make it this far without dropping a game.
Yeah. Unfortunately for my Nuggets, they're on the wrong side of this, but they've been, if I take myself out of that, it's kind of been a joy to watch. Yeah. The Nuggets got problems too.
Yeah, it is such a shame that this playoffs has just basically become a war of attrition. Like, with all the injuries we saw in the play-in in the first round, all these teams, every single night, a big name, important role players, whatever it was, somebody new was going down every single night. And here, obviously, we saw with the Knicks game last night, Brunson came back, OG Anunoby had the leg issue after scoring 20 points in 28 minutes. Obviously, Jamal Murray just isn't right.
Nope.
And that's with the way that Denver's set up, like they're a really well put together, well balanced, but shallow team. And they need offensively, they need every bit of what you would expect from Jokic and Murray in order to compete with the best of the best. And right now, Murray can't really give them that. And Joker's been flustered a little bit too, more than we've maybe ever seen him. He's still, obviously, I mean, congrats on the MVP. Very much deserving, despite what Shaq would say. But yeah,
he's getting swarmed right now, man. Yeah, he's getting attacked right now, and he's the only guy who could really help him out at the moment. Jacob, let's go over to Creighton real quick. So speaking of getting right, got a chance to talk with Ryan Kalkbrenner upon his return to Creighton the other day. You have this quote up in your story on herd@sports.com where he talks about, you know, actually getting the summer to both rest and then also work on his body and train like in a way that's geared toward him playing basketball, not just playing basketball the entire time, whether it's going through the draft process. I was really interested to hear that sort of piece of it. What'd you take away from Kalkbrenner and the reasoning in why he's so excited to be back at Creighton for a fifth year?
Yeah, and just listening to him talk when he initially started, like it's like, oh, this sounds familiar. And I asked him like what Baylor Shireman did last year. Did you talk to him about it? Did you kind of take that into account? And that was a big part of it, like seeing what Baylor was able to accomplish last offseason, not even messing with the draft, just focusing entirely on getting in the gym and working with Jeremy Anderson, building up his body, and then figuring out what that meant for his overall game as he got stronger, got a little bit more athletic. And we saw it this season. He was able to turn himself from a high-level role player into an All-American. And we'll see how much left there is still for Kalkbrenner to kind of tap into. But yeah, it's not, I mean, it's a great thing for Creighton that he saw that and it's like, I want to try to do that. It certainly served the program well last year. And if he can kind of follow along those, in that same path, and it'll be a great thing for the program.
Well, I'll tell you what, like, I'm definitely interested in maybe not what he can add to his game or what else he can bring to the table just from a basketball perspective, but I'm really interested in the idea. I mean, it's not like there's a whole lot of room to grow in this category either, because he was basically playing 40 minutes a game last year, but like the best shape of his life, Ryan Kalkbrenner, and a guy who's ready to carry and shoulder more of the weight of the offensive load. Like, I want that. That sounds like a really good deal for Creighton, obviously, because his role, while he's the same player, his role does change a little bit. He'll have to take a little bit more of that offensive scoring load.
Yeah, he mentioned like that he wanted to work on not getting tired so quickly, and I'm like, you got tired.
Yeah, when
you're like the best conditioned center in the country, and you're talking about trying to get even improve your stamina even more, like lofty goal there. But yeah, he obviously the 3-point shot, continuing to refine that to make it a weapon and not something that happened just every now and then. And then he talked about just again kind of same thing, Baylor, just getting a little bit quicker, being able to move just a little bit better, just kind of physically kind of maxing out what he's capable of with what he has from a physical standpoint. I mean, he's not gonna suddenly be jumping 40 inches and,
right,
like sliding and staying in front of point guards or anything like that. But I mean, you can, there is little gains you can make from a strength and conditioning standpoint. We saw that with Baylor last year, where he definitely did move better than a year ago. And if Kalkbrenner adds even a little bit more mobility, if he's a little bit quicker off his feet, that does open up even more for him. Because we saw that was kind of one of the things that held him back, even in like the combine last year, he was competing against those other guys. Just a little slow to react at times, a little slow off his feet. Like if he can just get that a little bit better, he's already such an incredible defender and one of the most efficient offensive players in the country. If he can just tap into that just a little bit more, it will make him even harder to guard and improve his pro prospects down the line.
Hey, I want to ask you a question about NIL in a second, but just to kind of bridge the gap over there. I didn't get the sense from any of these quotes anyway. Like, a lot of people will look around the college basketball universe and they'll say, oh, well, that guy's coming back for a fifth year. You know, he would have had at least a shot to play professionally. That's an NIL-driven decision. Even though there's initiatives to help out Kalkbrenner as far as, you know, his comfortability level at Creighton and stuff like that, I don't get the sense that anything that he does is NIL-driven.
Yeah, and it was certainly a factor.
Yeah.
Part of, again, one of the many pros and cons. Because again, he's gonna have a family now to take care of. He and Rachel are getting married. He's got to start thinking about the future. And ultimately, the goal is to hopefully have a long pro career. And he wants to set himself up the best way possible. But at the same time, he's an All-American, and Creighton is taking care of him. Obviously, launching that Project 11 in conjunction with his announcement, like that was mm-hmm. planned for a reason. They're trying to kind of take advantage of the excitement around this to drum up support so that they can continue to make it worth the while for players like Kalkbrenner to stay back. Because the rumors are out there. Like if he had gone in the portal, he would have made a very large sum of money. He's still going to get very well taken care of at Creighton. Let's be clear on that. But it's not like he went out there and tried to leverage Creighton against the offers that he could have gotten elsewhere, anything like that. It was just he decided it made sense for him to come back, and Creighton's going to do everything they can to make it worth his while because of everything that he's accomplished, and a player of his status deserves that kind of support.
Yeah, I was reading a story in The Athletic. It was actually a mailbag from a variety of different people involved with college basketball. And Kyle Tuck Tucker talked to a few of them, whether they be coaches or player personnel guys or people involved in the NIL world, and they were asked to give their, like, basically going rates for various types of players, whether they're starters or all-conference or high-end, like, just estimations, ballparks of where those what those guys might go for. And we're talking about a price on the open market transfer portal here, and most of them said, like, we're looking at in the area of about $300,000 for a starter, and then it just keeps on increasing and jumping when you get into all-conference type of players, all-American type of players. There weren't a lot of those guys. There won't be, and there wasn't a lot of those guys in the portal this year. It's, I mean, where are we at right now with this thing, and do you expect the numbers and the figures like that to just, you know, continue to get more and more competitive?
I think there's probably a cap to this, and I don't know how much. I think it's tough because you've got some programs that are going to drive up the price for the truly elite players, but every year there's going to be a lot of players that go in the portal, and they're all going to be they're all going to have their own motivations and what's important to them. They're all going to be recruited by different levels. And not every kid takes the highest bid. Like, if it's somewhat competitive, somewhat close, then you got a lot of guys that choose situation over highest offer. And of course you got plenty that do play the game and try to get as much as possible, and more power to them if that's what's important and they want to capitalize on this moment. And then that's their right. It's just something that coaches are going to have to continue to monitor. They got to keep in mind, like, what they have in their war chest to use for their collectors and all that. And obviously the rules, people, they're considering every single opportunity they get at all levels, whether it's the courts, whether it's NCAA, whether it's whoever it may be. I hesitate to really project this thing out too far. Like, how long do coaches, how long do the mega rich boosters want to fund NIL to this degree? Especially, like, we'll have to see kind of just because you pay, you're the highest bidder doesn't mean that you're going to go win the championship.
Right.
That time and time again. And that's why where you get to the over a million, whatever, some of these offers out there, I'm like, is that worth the investment? Like, for some of these players, like, are these players truly, all right, because you added this guy, you got a chance to go win a championship? I don't know. There's only going to be one team winning a championship every year, only 14, like, Final Four. Like, what are they going to decide is worth, like, is an accessible return on investment? So all this stuff is a moving target, and part of that's why I've never really gotten worked up about it. And people say, oh, college sports is dying and unsustainable and all this type of stuff. Like, they'll figure it out as we go. Like, the rules will change. The way the approaches will change. I think it's still all very new. It's just have a few years of this, and it's just kind of continuing to level up. But ultimately, I think there is going to be a ceiling. The thing is, there's just so many teams and so many college athletes it won't. You're not going to get to the point like the NBA with all these contracts ever. It's you've got 30 teams. It's so self-contained. That's why it like the pro leagues work, because they're not trying to make it 300 plus teams involved. So I don't know. I kind of just don't really look at it too much. I just kind of react to what it is now, and we'll see what it evolves into down the line.
Yeah, we definitely don't have to make it the boogeyman for everything. That's for sure. Jacob, we appreciate the time as always. Oh, by the way, where are you? Where will you be located this weekend? Where are you at?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis. Oh, good. That'll be fun. That's what, an 11, 12 hour drive somewhere around there?
Just 10.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not bad. Maybe you'll find some delicious food along the way.
Yeah. Well, it's either drive 10 by myself or volunteer to drive one of the vans full of players. And I'm like, I'll try to make this trip myself.
Yep. I think that's a smart idea. Good
Go
call
to the
by
Bass
you.
Pro Shop.
Oh, the big Bass Pro Shop inside the pyramid.
Okay, cool.
There you go. That's our recommendation of Memphis, as we are experts, of course. Thanks, Jacob. See you later.
All right. Talk to you guys next week.
Jacob Adil of Herdad Sports. I don't think he'll go to the Bass Pro Shops inside the pyramid.
Didn't sound like he knew what we were talking about.
Okay.
You'll know it when you see it. They'll go, oh, that's that pyramid that the Grizzlies play in.
It's
it's a Bass Pro Shop.
Eighth
now.
Wonder of the world. Whatever. All right. We'll be back. A couple things, just one thing here before break. Nebraska football is doing an interesting thing today.
Very interesting, Connor.
Oh, you think it's very interesting?
I do.
Well, maybe we should wait and we should talk about it when we return then.
No, I don't have anything more to say on it.
Oh, it's just very interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they're making a couple of their support staffers available, and they want to, in order the message basically that we got on this was here. I'll just read it. Over the next several weeks, we're planning to have various members of the football support staff available to the media. We'll begin that today with Sean Patton, the general manager, and Dr. Susan Elza, the chief of staff. And so they'll be doing this with a variety of support staff members over the next few weeks, which I think is a really cool initiative, and you get to figure out what everybody does. And
yeah, if
you
got some background information, exactly. Well, if you got day to day operation,
and if you get specific questions about, who takes care of this, mm-hmm. like it doesn't have to, the head coach doesn't have to answer. And a lot of times, you know what the head coach will do? He'll be like, well, I don't know. Ask Dr. Elza. I don't know. Ask Sean. Like, he's in charge of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're like, the media says, well, that'd be great. Where can I find them? Can I talk to them? And I'd be like, no.
No, you cannot.
No. Okay, great. Thanks for answering my question.
Do you have their number?
Appreciate it. So, yeah, these guys are available. Super open doors policy over there, that's for sure. So that's kind of cool. Might discuss that a little bit when we return. Got a couple other Husker football topics in the hopper for you. Don't worry. We won't talk about too much of the NBA. We probably won't even mention that anymore today. So, Husker country, you can come back now. I guess he never threatened. He just yawned a lot.
Don't give people the idea that they can leave, Connor.
Back with more next on 1620 The Zone.